Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series we started last week called, I guess a couple weeks ago, The Journey Beyond Normal, Average, and Ordinary. Hallelujah. We are not normal, average, and ordinary. So as I talked about, all destinations are not an hour or two away. Not all destinations can be reached in a day, right? Not all destinations have a specified arrival time. When you go on the airport, I mean, there's an arrival time. And you get on the bus, there's an arrival time. You get on the train, there's an arrival time. But not all destinations have an arrival time. For example, there was, 2019, I think the Holy Ghost said to me, the Holy Ghost said to us in church, the word of the Lord came to us and said, if you take me at my word and fight the good fight of faith this time next year, you'll not recognize yourself because everything will be so good. Amen? And so then he said this, he said, but it doesn't have to take that long. So not every destination has a specified arrival time. And so we look at ourselves even now, and that's been three years, just over 3 years, and things are very good, and we really don't recognize ourselves compared to where we were. So, it took 3 years. He began working and doing things, and so you know what? Not everything just has this specified arrival time. Sometimes it's just the process. How long does it take us to get there? How quickly does it take us to get there, right? So it's called a journey. It's called a journey. I've got this word from Jerry Savelle. It was in 2016, I guess New Year's Eve 2016, he said this, there is a level of prosperity that you have never known, nor even hoped for, but I am empowering all those who dare believe that it is possible. And I will show them how to tap into it, and it will begin to manifest in their lives in this coming year, says the Lord. As I began to look at this, and in the light of what we've been talking about, I began to see something. And he didn't say it was going to happen. God said, I'm not going to give you all the money this year. What he said here is, I'm going to empower all those that believe this, that it's available. I'm going to empower. There's an empowerment. Are we going to take advantage and use that empowerment, that enablement? It's called the blessing. Then he goes on to say, and I will show them how to tap into it. I thought, isn't that interesting? God said, I'm going to show you how to tap into it. So it's not automatic. It's something that we need to tap into. So the destination does not have a specified date or arrival time. It's, are we going to use the empowerment? Are we going to allow ourselves to be enabled and then work the process, walk it out? I'm going to enable you, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to help you walk this out. It's like, oh, it's not automatic. There is this process of us walking and working together with Him. So, it's a journey. Hallelujah. And we've come this far. Amen. We're this far already. Hallelujah. Let's not stop. Let's continue to move forward. Let's continue to move upward. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this. The last part of the verse anyway says this, that we are to walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. And so that's our theme verse here. Walking in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. The word steps means to go, to track, to arrive, footprints, or to imitate the example of someone. And so these steps indicate a journey that we start on, a journey that we're going on, a journey that's taking us to a place, an arrival place, footprints that we are to follow, footprints that we're to walk in, examples that we are to imitate. Amen. God set examples before us that we can imitate and learn from. Now they're called coaches or they're called mentors, but they're examples that we can learn from. Amen. And so steps indicate, once again, a journey. A journey. That means we're not just settlers. It means that the journey is not over. We just get so far and then we go, okay, you know what, I'm comfortable here. This is enough. You know, that's enough journeying. We're just going to park and we're going to build here and we're going to hang out in our comfort zone. But no, we're pioneers, meaning we continue to move forward. The journey is not over. The journey, we continue to move forward in our journey. We continue to move on beyond normal, average, and ordinary. Most people just camp. They're comfortable being normal, average, and ordinary. That's why it's called normal, average, and ordinary, because most people have just settled there. But then there are some who decide to, we're not settling, we're moving on. Because we don't want to be normal, average, and ordinary. We don't want to be mundane, mediocre. God didn't call us to be mediocre, normal, average, and ordinary. He called us to be extraordinary. And so Jesus is an example for us. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. So we're to enjoy the journey on the way to the destination. But this week I heard some things. We actually have, so the thing about the journey, we actually spend more time in the journey than the destination. So we ought to enjoy the journey on the way to the destination. But this is what I learned this week, is there's not just one destination. Our journey is filled with destinations. Amen? God has us moving here. We get here, and then He's got another here. He's always constantly got us moving forward. There's this constant destination we're moving towards in our journey. Our journey is filled with destinations. Our journey is filled with wins. Our journey is filled with accomplishments. Our journey is filled with moving forward and moving upward. We climb one mountain, we get up there and we go, woo! And then we find out there's another mountain over there. There's a taller mountain. It says, I want you to go there. So we move there. We go to that. We're constantly moving upward. Amen? Our journey is made up of many destinations. And so we looked at Philippians 3, verses 12 to 21, and the Apostle Paul says, listen, I haven't arrived. I'm still moving forward. I haven't arrived. I haven't parked. I haven't camped. I've not stopped. I've not found my comfort zone, and I'm not just sitting down. He says, I continue to move forward. I keep the past behind me. He says, but what I have learned in my journey so far is, listen, keep the past behind you. I forget the things that are behind. I continue to stretch forward to the things that are before, and I pursue the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that invitation of God that He has given us. So let's forsake normal, average, and ordinary. Ephesians 2:19 tells us this, because we are citizens of the kingdom of God and children of the family of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are children of the family of God. In other words, as citizens, we have legal rights, and as children, we have an inheritance. We are not normal, average, and ordinary. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are children of the family of God. And so as we walk with God, and that's what this journey is, we walk with God. I remember in the Genesis, in the first few books, it says, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Wow. He walked with God. It's a journey. A journey. And so our walking with God is the journey. The journey is walking with Him. Walking with Him. We're not leading Him. He's leading us. We're walking with Him. He's not stopping. We're not stopping. We keep moving forward with Him. Walking with God. And as we walk with God, we must do three things. We must trust Him. We must praise Him. And we must grow in Him. Trust, praise, and grow. And today I want to talk about the word trust. Trust Him. Why should we trust Him? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God, Elohim, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Why should we trust Him? Because He's God. Because He's the Creator, right? And you read through this whole chapter. And it says, He created. And God saw the light, and it was good, verse 4. And then verse 10, and God saw that it was good. And then we go to verse 12, and God saw that it was good. And God said, and God saw it was good. And God said, and God saw it was good. And verse 7 or verse 18, and God saw that it was good. And we see in verse 21, and God saw that it was good. And then verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Verse 27, so God created man or mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God created us. And then He says in verse 31, and God saw, and when God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. And so we see that God, the Creator of everything, everything He did was good. We should trust Him. Why? Because He's the Creator, and everything He's done is good. Good. And then when He created us, it was very good. It's very good. He did not create anything for us bad. He created it for us good. It's for our good. Because He is God, and because He is our Creator, is why we should trust Him first off. Then if we go to chapter 17, Genesis 17, verse 1, Genesis 17, verse 1, God shows up and talks to Abram. Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him, the Lord Jehovah appeared to him, and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless or wholehearted. I am the Almighty God. Why should we trust Him? Because He is the Almighty God. He is El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He's for us. He is the Omnis. He is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere present. He's omnipotent, means He's all-knowing. He knows everything. And He's omniscient, which means He's all-powerful, omnipotent. All-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere present. He's the Almighty God, the Creator of heavens and earth. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. We know this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is this? Why should we trust Him? Because He loves us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. He loves us more than anyone ever has. So everything He does for us is in our best interest and for our good. He's worthy of our trust. He's deserving of our trust. He has redeemed us. Matter of fact, Jesus came, and then the Bible says that He gave His life. He who loved us gave Himself for us. He gave His life for us. He redeemed us. Everything He's done is for our good. So we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. He's not leading us astray. We need to trust Him. Let's go through this quick little journey. Back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to go through four scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, the blessing is released in words. The blessing is released in words. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. There's nothing negative in this. It's be fruitful, multiply, increase, fill up the earth, subdue, have dominion. Don't be subdued, don't be dominated, but subdue and have dominion. He's called us to rule and reign in our lives through one Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And then it goes on, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to quote this from, there's probably four or five different translations, but Jeremiah 29:11, God said this, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for your peace, for your welfare, for your prosperity, for your success. Not of evil or of harm, right? Not of evil or of harm, but to give you an expected end and a hopeful future. We can trust Him. Why? Because He already knows the thoughts and plans that He has for us, for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, all good. Not of evil or of harm. None of His plans are for evil or our harm. We can trust Him because His thoughts and plans are for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, not of evil or harm, but to give us an expected end and a hopeful future. Amen? We can trust Him. We can trust Him. On our journey from beyond normal, average, and ordinary, we can trust Him. He's not going to lead us astray. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief is the one that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. Jesus, why did you come? He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Greek word more abundantly is also translated superabundantly, excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality. This is the kind of life and living Jesus has come to give us. Not a less life, not a demoted life, not a bad life, but a superabundant life. One that's excessive, it's beyond measure. It can't even be measured anymore how good it is, beyond measure. Superior in quality. In other words, it's not normal, average, and ordinary. It's superior in its quality. You can have normal, average, and ordinary quality, but He says, I've come that you might have a superior quality of life. Amen? This is what He has for us. We can trust Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified says this, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. See, He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for us. Thoughts and plans for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity. He's prepared these ahead of time. A good life, which He's prearranged and made ready for us to live. Excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. Amen? We can trust Him because He is for us and not against us. He is for us and not against us. So since Abraham is our example, it's called the father of our faith, that we're to walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, that we are to walk in his footsteps, walk in the, use him, imitate him, use, he's our example of faith. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. So Abram's father passes away. In the next verse, God shows up. And the Lord, Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. That's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. Verse 4, so Abraham departed. Just like that. Why? Because he trusted God. He trusted him. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And so then they moved and journeyed and moved and journeyed and moved and journeyed, and there's this process. And then we see in verse 13, it says, then Abraham went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And before the Lord responded back, Abram had to do some housekeeping, because there was strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, because they had so many cattle and so many flocks that the land was not able to hold them, and so they were fighting. And so Abram said to Lot, there will be no strife and division in my family, in my home, in my business. So if you go that way, I'm going to go that way. Or if you decide to go that way, I'll go that way. And so Lot picked his destination, and Abraham, they separated. Verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him. See, Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and then the Lord responded. He said, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also can be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the Tiberinth tree of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So, Abraham's our example. God said, leave, he left. And then he's on his journey, and he called on the Lord. And the Lord responded back. And the Lord said to him, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to lift up your eyes from where you are and look. Too many times, we're just looking where we are. Looking where we are, complaining about where we are. All we see is where we are because we're just looking where we are. But God said, listen, I've got some, this is normal, average, and ordinary. Why? Because it's our life. He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to lift up your eyes from where you are, and I want you to look. I want you to look all around, and I want you to see beyond normal, average, and ordinary. Because what you see, I give to you. There's things I want to give to you, but until you can see them, you cannot have them. So I don't want you to just look at where you are. I want you to lift up your eyes, and I want you to begin to look, and I want you to begin to see something beyond you. Beyond you. Beyond the normal, the average, and the ordinary that we find ourselves living in. I want you to lift up your eyes, and I want you to see what I have for you. And I'll give it to you. But you have to see it. You have to lift up your eyes, and you have to look. We have to look for it in order to see it. And as we're looking for it, he can begin to reveal it to us. as we begin to look for it, he begins to reveal it to us. I don't know about you. I'm sure you probably know this. But you probably spent time in the Word and spent time in the Word. And there's a lot of stuff you haven't seen. And then all of a sudden, you start hungering for something or desiring something. And you begin to look in the Word. And all of a sudden, it seems like that's kind of everywhere. Like, wow, look at this thing that the Lord's put in my heart. All of a sudden, I see it here, and I see it here, and I see it here. It didn't seem like it was there before, but it seems to be. It just seems to be everywhere. Why? Because we decided to lift up our eyes and begin to look. And now the Lord's causing us to see what we hadn't seen before. Because he wants to give us something we haven't had before. It's the same way. This journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary begins as we lift up our eyes from where we are and begin to look, because God said, I've got stuff I want to give you. I want stuff I want you to enjoy. I want you to live this super abundant life. But in order for you to enjoy it, see, we're not going to enjoy it all in one day. It's a journey with many destinations. So we're going to take a step. Woo, yeah. And then there'll be another step or two steps, right? It's just this journey. We're moving forward. We're moving upward step by step. This journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary. But it comes by trusting him. Trusting him. And Abraham stepped out. Trusting him. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord talked to him. And the Lord gave him an instruction. So now, what I want you to do, verse 17, now I want you to arise and walk. Arise. First things first. Get up to a higher level. This is growth. This is personal growth. Arise. Get up. First things first, get up to a higher level. Why? So you can go possess, so you can walk in the land. We can't do it sitting down. We can't do it staying, settling. And we have to be pioneers. We have to arise and move forward. Arise and walk. Arise and walk. And so he arose and walked. God said, arise and walk. And so what did Abram do? Abram moved. Took action. Why? Because he trusted God. He trusted God. Still doesn't know where he's going, but he trusted God, right? He's moving forward. God just said, excuse me, move forward, go. All right. He moved. Move forward. Why? Because he trusted God. This is our example. Abram's our example. We need to trust God and move forward, following in his footsteps. Genesis chapter 13. Hallelujah. We trust and follow him. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. So we see Genesis chapter 1, Isaac is born. Abram left when he was 75. It took 25 years for Isaac to be born. There was this struggle with getting this promise to happen, but finally they got in sync. 99 years, we read that, God said, I am the Almighty God. This time next year you'll have your Isaac. All right. So they had. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 25 years for that promise to come to pass. Now we're in chapter 22. And so the whole thing, in your son, in Isaac shall your seed be. So there's this promise. There's this destiny. There's this destination. There's this future, all based on Isaac. He's the promised son. And now chapter 22, it says, verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that the God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, take up your son, your only son. And you're going to hear God say this repeatedly, your only son. Your only son. Your only son. Because when God's talking to Abraham about his son, he's talking about Isaac, your only son. He had an Ishmael, but that was their own doing. But in God's eyes, when we're talking about the promise, when we're talking about your future, when we're talking about your destiny, Abraham, we're talking about your only son, Isaac. Your only son. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moreh, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham what? Well, he pondered, he thought about it, he prayed about it. Let me just talk to my wife about it. Let's just, take a survey and we'll just kind of procrastinate. No, not that at all. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took the two of his young men with him, so a couple staff members, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And so they're moving, they're going to Moreh, they actually went to Mount Moriah. This is where Jacob laid his head down on the rock to rest, Mount Moriah. Saw the angels coming up and down on the ladder. This is where they were, which today is now the Temple Mount. God has picked this spot. Go to the place. He saw the place. And so Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now the word lad in the Hebrew means young man. And so he's anywhere from between 20 and 37 years old. Why is that? Well, verse 1 of chapter 23 says, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah gave birth to Isaac when she was 90. So chapter 23, verse 1, Sarah passed away at 127, which means Isaac was 37 at the beginning of chapter 23. He was born in chapter 21, and so he's called the young lad. And literally the word young lad in the Hebrew means young man, a young man of marrying age. So it's not like he was 8 or was 12 or 15. I mean, literally, he was older than that. And so he said, stay here, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He didn't say, I will come back to you. He said, we will come back to you. Why? Because he trusts God. Let's continue on. So Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. So Isaac spoke to Abram, his father, so as they were going up the hill. He said, my father, he said, yes, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And I want you to see this. At this point, Isaac is beginning to go, okay, this is interesting. Abraham declared what he believed and his trust in God. God will provide a lamb for himself. Now that's prophetic on one hand, but the other hand, it's literally he trusts God and he's telling you what he believes. God will provide for himself a lamb. And so as they're going, now, so whatever age Isaac is, there's been at least a couple decades where Abraham has been telling him the story. In your seed, there is a destiny. God has a plan for you. The future, me, you, your seed, you're getting married, you're going to have children. There's a whole destiny that our seed, our descendants, will be numerous. Like the sand of the seashore, stars of the sky. He's been telling him this story, this prophecy, this promise, this letting him know who he is, his destiny, his life, how important and valuable his life is. And now they're walking up this hill. And then it doesn't say it, but Abraham must have began to reveal to him and talk to him what God said. He He said, now, Isaac, the Lord Jehovah, Almighty God Himself, talk to me. And He told me that I'm to offer you up as a burnt sacrifice. But don't sweat it. I believe God because of everything He said. Your future is not ending here. God is not going to tell me all these promises about you and I and your future and have it stop here. Your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. So when God says, I want you to offer your only son, Isaac, as a burnt offering, Isaac, I believe God is going to raise you from the dead. This is the most exciting. You want to see a miracle? We're about to see a miracle of miracles. And He stirred Isaac up. He stirred Isaac. Isaac believed Him. Isaac agreed with Him. And when they came to the place which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed built an altar there and placed the wood on the order in order. He bound Isaac his son. Now Isaac could have ran away. He could have pushed his dad away and ran off, but he didn't. He stood there. Why? Because he was in complete agreement with his dad. He trusted his dad. Trusted God. Abraham trusted God. And so they're just working this plan. And so he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Yes. And he said, do not lay your hands on the lad and do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by a thorn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time from heaven and he said, now, by myself I have sworn and says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, his staff guys, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. So Abraham trusted God, but this portion of Scripture, this is the test of love. The test of love. God loves me, Abraham loves God. God said, I want you to do this. Abraham trusted God. And out of love, walked and responded accordingly. But this is also the promotion of love. Love himself said, now I know that you love me. Now I know. And so now I'm promoting you. Amen. Our trust and obedience in God always opens the door for promotion. Promotion. So on this journey, right? On this journey. We're on this journey. As we walk with God, this journey of walking with God, we must trust Him, praise Him, and grow with Him. Let's close with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 17, talking about this event. It says, by faith. So this is the Hall of Faith. Hebrews, the hall of faith. But you know, the word faith, the word trust is part of the word faith. When you look up the word faith, and how can the word, the Hebrew word and the Greek word translated faith, what are other words that can be translated? One of them is trust. So this is the hall of trust. This is a hall of faith. These men and women trusted God. And because they trusted Him, they believed Him, and they acted on what He said, they got God results. Amen. So in our journey, we too are going to have to trust Him. So verse 17, by faith, by trust, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So he's concluding, obviously based on God's word, that Isaac, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham saw Isaac being raised from the dead. As a burnt offering, he saw the ashes come back together. Come back together and become his living Isaac once again. He saw it. And he shared and passed that information on to Isaac. And Isaac saw it. And they both believed God. They both trusted God, and they both played their part in doing what God had said. And the angel had him stop, but he already had committed. He had already made the decision, right? There was no other option. We're obeying God. The knife was in the air. It was already done. And the angel said, stop. Now I know. Now I know. Our trust in God. On this journey of trusting God. Abraham trusted God and acted accordingly. The journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary will require us to also trust God every step of the way. Why? Because God is faithful. Amen. Let's say that together. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Glory to God. So the next week, we're going to talk about praising Him. We're going to need to what? In this walk with God, this journey, we must trust Him, praise Him, and grow in Him. He is worthy of our trust because He only has our best interest in mind. Amen. The journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary will require us to trust God every step of the way because He's faithful, and He loves us. Glory to God.